we believe in salvation by grace through faith in Christ. We do not believe in salvation by parenting. Your child's salvation does not depend on you being the perfect parent. Thank God for that. It is God who saves, not you, even when it comes to your children.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, that truth right there for many parents is so freeing.
It really is. And I often want to say to parents, let's never take the credit and let's never take the blame. It is God who saves. You know, Jonah, salvation comes from the Lord. That's central to the whole of Scripture and to the whole of the gospel. And if we get the idea that it actually comes from us by the degree to which we are effective in parenting, then we are going to take the credit, or if things go wrong, we're going to inappropriately take the blame. And neither are things that we should biblically be doing. Sure, parenting is really, really important, but salvation comes from the Lord.
And for the parent who does see a child going wayward despite their best efforts, it is a reason for them to have hope, because it's ultimately God who is going to save.
That's right. You look at your son or your daughter and you say, do they have any interest in the Christian faith? No, they don't. So if my hope for their salvation depends on their choice and their will, then where am I going to go from there? But what good news it is that there is a God who saves, and He doesn't need a person's permission to do it. He's able to reach into a person's life and to change the will and to change the heart. And that's a reason that we can pray. We can pray to this God and we can hope in this God. And so that's the reason that I would want to encourage parents who are anxious over children in a season of rebellion.
Well, we're in Galatians chapter 3 as we continue this message, Parenting in the Flesh versus Parenting in the Spirit. Here's Pastor Colin.
There are many kids who have rejected Christianity because all they've ever seen is the law. And I want to speak to you if that's your position. If you think Christianity is boring, you have not yet seen or grasped the gospel. How in all the world could being filled with the Spirit of the living God, the creator of the universe, be boring? How could it be? I encourage you, if that's where you are, don't reject the gospel, because all you've been looking at is the law. Now, I want to give some pastoral advice here. And that's all that it is. It is pastoral advice. But it seems to me that a child brought up in a Christian home and brought regularly to a Christian church is, frankly, very likely to make a profession of faith early on in life. I did this myself. My children did the same. If that happens, parents should rejoice. But be very careful not to affirm more than the child has experienced. Remember that especially at an early age, though indeed there may be a conversion, I look back at my own commitment to Christ at the age of 6 and see that there was indeed a work of grace at that time. But remember that it is also possible that a child may simply be conforming to what you are teaching, especially if you've taught it strongly. And assuming that a child has received the Spirit when all they're really doing is obeying the law and conforming to what you have taught them creates some problems. This is why we must be very careful in the home and in the church never to exert pressure for a child to make a decision, which they may well do just to please us, and then think that they have the gospel when actually all they have is the law. They're conforming to our expectations. Here's the exhortation. Trust God to do His own work in His own time. Don't confuse the law with the gospel. Never mistake conformity for conversion. Now, with these things in mind, I want briefly to take a look at what we've framed today as the difference between parenting in the flesh and parenting in the Spirit, which is really just another way of expressing the difference between law and gospel. And I found it helpful to think of parenting in the Spirit as being rather like walking on a narrow wall with water on either side. The water is called parenting in the flesh. And obviously from this picture, what we're saying is you don't want to fall into the water. You can fall into the water actually in one of two directions, as we'll see. The first is simply trusting in human works. Now what that's all about is simply this. It's the kind of parenting in the flesh that says, if I do certain things as a parent and do them absolutely right, then all will be well with my child. And that is just the mistake that the Galatians were into applied in another way. You know, if I do the Bible reading, if I do the prayers, if I provide an ordered home, if I exercise discipline, if I get everything right. Now, if you go away from Family Life Month with a sense of, I've got to get everything right, help. If that's the message you take away, you will be under an impossible burden. And some of us are feeling under that impossible burden, and we need to be released from it. The Galatian believers started their journey with faith. They ended up living as if everything depended on their work. And there is no area, it seems to me, where we are more likely to fall into that error today than the area of parenting. Remember, we believe in salvation by grace through faith in Christ. We do not believe in salvation by parenting. Thank God for that. Because if we did, you and I would be under an impossible burden. Your child's salvation does not depend on you being the perfect parent. Thank God for that. It is God who saves, not you, even when it comes to your children. I will never forget the conversation where the ugliness of this came home to me. I was talking with a couple who had two daughters who had both grown up to be fine Christian women. They were distantly related to another couple in the same church who also had two daughters who had grown up and had turned far, far away from the Lord. Speaking with this first couple, they spoke with sadness about the second couple's two girls. And then they said this: if only their parents had done what we did, it could all have been so different. And I nearly died when they said it. They just robbed God of all the glory of what he'd done in the lives of their own kids. Not only that, they turned the salvation of their children from a glorious work of grace into a work of human effort. That's placing your confidence in human works rather than the grace of God. Beware of turning your child's salvation into a human work. Don't go there. Because if you do, you will either sink under an impossible burden or you will be lured into an obnoxious pride. Your son, your daughter's salvation is by grace through faith in Christ, and that is why there's always hope for your kids. Praise God for that. So let's not fall off the wall of parenting in the Spirit into the waters of parenting in the flesh by thinking as if it all depends on us and turn the grace of God into a human work. Don't do that. Be released from that burden. Be released from it. Second, quenching the Holy Spirit. See, the thing here is that there is water on both sides of the wall. And there are two ways in which you can fall into parenting in the flesh. One is that you end up trusting in your own works as if everything depended on you and you live under an impossible burden. The other is that you quench the Holy Spirit by failing to recognize what he is doing. Now, we do indeed quench the Spirit when our eyes are closed to his work. Remember this: the Holy Spirit is always at work in the life of your child. Whether or not he or she is a believer. Remember, Jesus said, my Father is always working. The Holy Spirit is always at work in the life of your child or each of your children. God is always at work. Your privilege as a parent and mine is to try and discern what God is doing in the life of your child and then to encourage it. Now, the thing that makes this difficult, of course, is that God doesn't send report cards, right? See, it's easy to know how your kids are doing at school because they send you report cards. It's easy to know how your kids are doing in sports because you can see the progress while you stand on the touchline or sit in the stands and shout and so forth and cheer. So it's easy to affirm these things, isn't it? Hey, son, I just saw your report card. Straight A's, good job, way to go. Or something like that. Or in sports, hey, home run, way to go. That was a sweet pass out to the left wing. Beautiful. Three-pointer with 5 seconds to go on the clock. Whoa! See, it's easy to affirm these things. If these are the main things that are affirmed in your home, what will your child grow up thinking is really important in life? Straight A's in sports. That's parenting in the flesh, quenching the work of the Spirit. If that's all we're doing, what about, you know, I heard that you spoke to that new kid in the youth group who was on her own and didn't know anybody. I thought that was terrific. What about, you know, I saw that you really were sorry about that, and I think God knows that too. That's terrific. I think God's doing that in your life. It's wonderful. Now, I want to suggest this as a serious daily prayer for every parent. Because heaven doesn't send report cards. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to discern what God is doing in the life of your believing child or your unbelieving child, and then to pray into it and to encourage it. So learn to pray like this. Lord, open my eyes to see what you're doing in the name of your son or your daughter's life. And start praying into that. Affirm that. Go with that. And let the kids know that that is more important to you than anything else in the world. And yes, affirm the straight A's. And yes, say, way to go if he shoots a basket with 5 seconds left on the clock. But don't let him leave home thinking that that's the thing most important in life to you. Because that would be parenting in the flesh.
Well, we're going to have to pause the message right here, but we'll continue in just a little bit, so I hope you'll stay with us. Our message is called Parenting in the Flesh versus Parenting in the Spirit. It's part of our series, Unless the Lord Builds the House. And if you ever miss a broadcast, you can listen online at openthebible.org. And Open the Bible is able to be on the station because of your generosity. As you give a gift of any amount this month, and time is quickly running out to do this, we're going to say thank you for your gift by sending a copy of Phil Reichen's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. Again, it's our thank you for your financial support. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Second, parenting in the Spirit. What then is parenting in the Spirit in all about? If parenting in the flesh is trusting in human works or quenching the Holy Spirit, then think of parenting in the Spirit as being like a narrow path of wisdom on which Christ will lead all who will follow. And it is a narrow path on which we need discernment and the help of Christ every single day. You say, well, what does it look like? Very simply, and from this passage, Paul points to Abraham as our example. And three things. First of all, faith. Parenting in the Spirit is always a venture of faith. Verse 6, as Paul points to Abraham as our model right here, consider Abraham, he believed God. That's parenting in the Spirit. It's believing God. Remember the story. Abraham was an old man, and Sarah was pretty well 90 years old. And God told Abraham that he would have a son. And of course, the thing was impossible. It was impossible. The Bible emphasizes the impossibility of it over and over and over again. And then it tells us, but Abraham believed God. If you say you can bring a child out of an old man and a 90-year-old woman, I can't see how in all the world you're going to do that, but I believe it if you say it. That's faith. Abraham trusted God to do the impossible, and that is what God is calling you to do with regard to your children. The salvation of your child is impossible except for God, because it involves a unique miracle in which he will bring light into your child's darkness, life into the deadness of your child's soul. Place your confidence not in what you are seeking to do as you pursue the path of wisdom, but rather place your confidence in God's ability to work a miracle in the life of your son or your daughter. As a parent, God asks you to trust him to do his work as you pursue the work that he's given to you. Mine is to teach. Mine is to train. Mine is to pray. Mine is to provide an example. God's is to save. And maybe you feel that the salvation of your son or your daughter right now is a long, long way off. Maybe you find it impossible to imagine your daughter filled with the Spirit of God, your son filled with the Spirit of God. You find it impossible to imagine. Remember Abraham. Parenting in the Spirit. It's about faith. I pass on a phrase that has been a great benefit to me. Picked it up years and years ago from just before our boys were born, actually. Karen was carrying Andrew. When I came across this phrase, it has been one of the most helpful things that I've ever heard. And it's simply this. Bring your children up in faith, not fear. Bring them up in faith, not fear. Let them see that you trust God and that you trust God about them too. Faith. Faith. Second gospel, verse 8, the scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. Well, we've been seeing this right throughout our time this morning. God gave the law and the gospel. The law is good. The gospel is better. So make sure that there's law in your home and make sure there's lots of gospel. What's the law? Here's the law. Tidy your room. Be on time. Say thank you. Now look, I need you to be on your best behavior today. Any parent not said these things? Don't kick your little brother. That's the law. Why? We need the law. Be chaos otherwise. All good stuff. You need the law in your home, but you need the gospel far more. The law is given to drive us to Christ. The gospel is given to draw us to Christ. We need both. Make sure that your kids are seeing and hearing the gospel. You don't get the Spirit by obeying the law. The love of God has come in Jesus Christ, and the purpose of God for you is more than morality. It's that you be filled with the Spirit. Oh boy, and if you could taste that, you would never want anything else again. And that leads to the last thing, blessing. All nations will be blessed through you, God said to Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. Boy, if there's one thing our kids need to see in the home and in the church, and here every one of us is called to give a model. If there's one thing our kids need to see in the home and in the church, it is authentic models, not simply of the law, but of the life of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this as a word of encouragement to some of our teenagers who love the Lord. A few kids who really love Jesus and get on fire for him and find genuine joy in him will have an extraordinary influence for the gospel. Really will. Other kids will see the life of the Holy Spirit in you and they'll say, I want a piece of that. That's powerful. And our calling as parents, our calling as a church is to live in such a way that that will be the reaction of many. Listen, do you have something in your life that's more than the law? Do you? See, maybe the greatest thing that we can do for our kids at the end of family month, whether it be our own kids within the immediate family or whether it be the kids that are part of the wider church family, is simply this. To recognize from the depth of our being that what they need from us is to see something more than the law. More than conformity. More than morality. They need to see the indwelling, outworking life of the Holy Spirit of God. And if there's one place that I'd want to bring us all at the end of this month that we've shared together, it would be to the foot of the cross of Jesus. You receive the Spirit, believing what you have heard, and to cry unto him, Lord Jesus Christ, pour your Spirit into me afresh as a father. Fill me afresh with your Spirit as a mother. Fill us afresh as a church with your Spirit so that a rising generation may see more than the law and discover the riches of the gospel, the life of the Spirit that the world cannot give, and it's found only in Jesus.
What a great reminder from Pastor Colin just a few minutes ago. We need the law in our home because that's going to drive us to Christ, but we also need the gospel because that's going to draw us to Christ. Well, you're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Parenting in the Flesh versus Parenting in the Spirit, the final in our series, Unless the Lord Builds the House. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in our series, you can come and listen online at openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We can't do what we do without your generosity, so thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Ryken's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, what is something that you'd like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I think the first thing is probably the subtitle, which I think is full of hope. How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. I think that's marvelous. And there's a profound truth here that when we endure dark experiences of doubt, that God can actually work in and through these to bring us to a stronger faith. And so perhaps someone listening right now is thinking, oh, I think I'm maybe like Judas who betrayed Jesus. Well, think about Peter, who also denied his faith, but then was wonderfully restored and became a pillar of the church. So you need to know that your doubts may be the very thing that God will use to strengthen your faith. And this book, I think, very practically will help you to deal with your doubts. It'll equip you to walk through the struggle and to see how God can work redemptively for your good and for his glory.
Well, we want to say thank you for your financial gift and supporting Open the Bible this month by sending you a copy of this book. Again, it's called I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.